today is Flag Day. So a couple things notable for today. Today is Flag Day. And I think the flag that we have, you know, was commissioned by the Second Continental Congress was in 1775, I think, or 70, I forget the exact date, but so it's Flag Day. So we get your flags out. If your flag isn't out, it should be out all the time, right? Because we love our country. And then it's also, I've never heard of this national day, Pop Goes the Weasel Day. Okay, so Pop Goes the Weasel. Do you know that the little rhyme? How's that go? Pop goes the weasel. Okay, so it's national. So you can sing that all day, right? Not the Pop Goes the Weasel. I just like the pop part because my grandkids call me Pop. So I like, okay, Pop. And then, it's National Cucumber Day. So we have a bunch of things going on. So we have Flag Day, National Pop Goes the Weasel Day, and then Cucumber Day. So we have all those going on today. So remember those things. But why did the man get fired from his lawn mowing job? He couldn't cut it. Good job, Walt. He just could not cut it. What do they call a lawn mower? What do they call lawn mowers in the military? Weapons of grass destruction. Okay. So go get on that lawn mower. And then, if lawn mowers had a favorite music style, and actually they did a survey, they asked lawn mowers this question, and lawn mowers responded with this answer. So what is a lawnmower's favorite music style? What? Bluegrass. You got it. Okay, so we're good on that one. Great. So this morning, I told Roger I couldn't decide between messages on titles. So it's kind of like a two-titled message because I couldn't decide. So we're looking at, once again, we're stepping back into Hebrews 11, and we're looking at two titles, Choose Faith and Faith Training. It's kind of like a combo message here as we get into Hebrews 11, 24 through 27. If you need note paper, since you don't have a bulletin, does anyone need note paper or anything? We have some paper here if you need note paper. If not, do whatever you do. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for laughter and just fun. We thank you for fellowship time and just talking with each other, Lord. And I just pray that as a church, we will help each other, rely on each other, talk to each other, listen to people's prayer requests, and pray for one another. Pray for the families of each other, and pray for this church, and pray for our community, Lord. And right now, I just ask and pray that your Spirit will speak to us. Help us to be better believers to serve you better. I pray for that. And in your name we pray. Amen. Hebrews 11, 24. Now, as again, we've been running through Hebrews. And I don't know how long we'll be here. But I'm loving Hebrews 11. And because it kind of walks you through the whole Old Testament of the characters and their faith, these guys and girls of faith. So Hebrews 11, we're talking today on Moses. I'll read this here. Hebrews 11, starting in verse 24. It says, so remember what faith is, the definition of faith used in the NIV from the 1990 version says, now faith, Hebrews 11, 1, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is being sure, certainly sure, positive sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That definition. So verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasure of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible. By faith, he kept the, this is verse 28, we might hit 28 today or we might not, but I'm going to read it. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. Probably we'll get into 28, just specifically Passover next week, because that's such a big deal, right? It's such a huge thing, the Passover. But this morning we're going to specifically look at what happened here with Moses. I mean, he's called out here in the faith chapter, and there's so much stuff with scripture with Moses, isn't there? I mean, there's just, I mean, we have obviously Abraham, we have all the stuff that took place. Then you get into of what God did through Moses, what God did through him, not what Moses did, but what God did through Moses of the laws and all the stuff that took place with Moses. So when we read this, you think to yourself, wow, Moses was just, you know, how do we think about Moses, right? When you think of Moses, when I think of Moses, you think of Moses who's standing there walking across the sea, waters are, and here's this man of giant faith, and he's just like battling for God, right? That's what you think, and that's what he became. But what happened before that? Moses had to go through some faith training. I mean, he really did. When you step back and you look at the beginning of Moses, it says here, it says in scripture that, you know, which we talked about last week. So Moses, he was, grew up as Pharaoh's grandson. And then as he grew up and got older, he decided to say, now I am not, he didn't want to be known as Pharaoh's grandson. He could have had everything he wanted, right? So remember, now we're thinking, you have to picture this, because he was a darker Hebrew, so he fit in perfectly with the Egyptian culture. So we're looking and thinking about a very dark black man. That's Moses. And Moses is in Egypt, and he's looked at upon as Pharaoh's grandson, and he's out there. And what we know of scripture, he goes out, and you can pull all this stuff up in Exodus 2 through 4, talks about Moses, and we'll jump into some of that. But he had everything going for him, right? He could have had anything he wanted as Pharaoh's grandson, but he made a choice. First off, that choice was what? He refused to be known as Pharaoh's grandson, a refusal. That's a choice, isn't it? How many times, like, do you know of somebody, especially when the kids were younger than the teenagers, and they refuse to do something? Or you have a little kid who's a 5-year-old and they put their heels in and they refuse to do something. Or if you're a husband, you know how it is with your wives, men. They refuse. No, I'm just kidding. So, but you know, when you make a refusal, that's a choice. Right? It's a choice. So Moses made this choice. And when you start thinking about it and looking at it here in Hebrews, all of a sudden you start to think that Moses was this very stubborn, powerful man. That's kind of the picture that you get here from Hebrews. But when you start looking at Moses, when we unfold this a little bit, it took Moses some time to become the man of God that he was. Right? His faith had to be trained. So Moses, obviously, so he was a Hebrew. And as we kind of pull this back, so his parents put him in the river, right? Before he was like, 3 months old. So he underwent most likely, because it doesn't say it talks about his circumcision, but he followed the Abrahamic, the covenant of he was circumcised on the eighth day. He was circumcised and he was put into that basket. So by the time he got into Pharaoh's house, he was already a circumcised Hebrew, right? Where the Egyptians weren't. So then you get in and you roll through life, and that's very important as we get rolling here on that specific detail on Moses. So Moses, he refused the fame, he refused the opportunities, everything that he had going for him as Pharaoh's son or grandson, because he saw and looked out and saw his people who were being slaves, were being tortured, were being beaten, and he made a choice to follow what God wanted for him. So as he looked out, he saw, and we get into this movement now of Moses. As he looked out, he saw his Hebrew brother being beaten, right, by guards. So what does Moses do? We know the story. Moses goes out, and there's this conflict, and Moses kills the guard, the Egyptian guard, kills him, and he buried him in the sand. He looked around to make sure no one was around, and he's like, oh, good, I got this done. Right. So Moses right away was kind of this guy stepping up to protect people. So we get that from him too. So he was stepping up to protect people. But then, as we know, you go back into Exodus where you look at the Hebrews the next couple of days later, I don't even know how long, but people saw it. People saw that Moses, this guy, this guy that met with God on the mountain who carved out the Ten Commandments by listening to God. So Moses, he was a murderer, right? He killed this guy and buried him. And then once he found out that Pharaoh knew, here we talk about in Hebrews, this is what I found interesting. In Hebrews, it says this, in verse 25. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasure of Egypt because he was looking ahead. By faith, he left Egypt not fearing. Okay, now that verse right there, it talks about here. He left Egypt, and then it goes into comma, not fearing the king's anger, comma, he persevered because he saw him who is invisible. That verse right there, it's kind of like this time-lapse verse, okay? Because when you go back to look at Moses, why did he originally leave Egypt? Scripture says in Exodus that he left Egypt because he was afraid that Pharaoh would find out, and that actually Pharaoh was trying to kill him. So when he first left Egypt, Moses was kind of on the run. He was found out that he killed an Egyptian guard. So now here's a Hebrew in Pharaoh's family that killed an Egyptian, and now Pharaoh wanted him dead. So Scripture says in Exodus that he left because he was fearing for his life. But now here it says he wasn't fearing. So what's this difference now? That verse is a time lapse. Because now we get into what happened with Moses. So we know that Moses left Egypt. He goes and leaves Egypt. He defended the Hebrew people, his brothers, his countrymen. And even though he was brought up in Pharaoh's courts, so he understood the Egyptian culture and he understood the Hebrew culture. So he leaves and he goes and finds these women out that are out in the field. There's seven girls, and he defends these seven girls. Once again, he's a defender, right? So once again, we think in our mind that Moses is this guy made for battle and not fearing anything. And then he chased off these bandits and saved these seven girls that, like you think of Disney, the girls in distress. And then like Moses comes in and is like, Moses. That's what you think, like this great man of Moses. But so that's the picture, okay? You get through that. Then you get to his father-in-law, Jethro, who is the priest of Midian. And they're a descendant also of Abraham through Abraham, another wife of Abraham after Sarah died. So anyhow, so they're in the Abraham line, but they're not with the Abraham and Sarah line, right? So anyhow, Moses now saves these girls. The father-in-law, the man, the father of the girls say, well, why didn't you bring him back? Why didn't you bring Moses back? He just saved your life. Please bring him back. So they bring Moses back. And we have so much great information about Moses' father-in-law, right, Jethro? And he said, hey, after some time, he's like, you watch my sheep, you be my shepherd, and here's, you can marry one of my daughters. Okay, and so this now is taking place. And then what we know from Moses, as he was out in the wilderness taking care of sheep and kind of living with his family and under the leadership, the direction of Jethro, his father-in-law, all this stuff was taking place, and Moses was just kind of this man living a life until one day, the burning bush. This is where it gets really interesting, because in your mind, in my mind, I think of Moses of this powerful guy, and then as he meets with God at the burning bush, all of a sudden these directions and this stuff starts to come out once Moses starts to meet with God. So we already know that Moses left. He left everything. He could have all the power as a celebrity. And we see it today, right? Celebrities, these people that come up that we hear about in the Christian world, that they start out as a celebrity, as Christians, as faithful followers of Christ. And all of a sudden they get into fame. And then all of a sudden something happens to them. There's multiple people that you can research all out that have walked away from who their savior is for the price of fame, which is fleeting, which will stop, which will end. Moses didn't want any of that. He was following and stepping out in faith, following what God wanted, right? That's where he was. So he left all the goodness that he could have had, all the great stuff, just like Jesus and the apostles, right? Jesus left it all. He could have had anything he wanted. And the apostles, they left it all, and they were all abused and all beaten and eventually killed. So now we're back to some Moses. Moses' faith, and when we see him at the burning bush, we know that he left Egypt kind of scared for his life. We know that he met with God at the burning bush. Then we know, with the story we always hear in scripture of the burning bush, Moses giving the directions. And did Moses step out, this great man of faith? Because we're looking at this great man of faith. And he was a great man of faith. And I'm trying to say, he didn't start off as a great man of faith. He was trained into this great man of faith that is here in scripture. He was trained to be the Moses that we understand of when we hear Moses. He was trained to be, when the Israel people think of Moses, set the captives free, the savior, not the savior, but he was like the redeemer or what? Yeah, so like the redeemer of the Israelite people when they were enslaved, right? The freer. He was trained to be that person. Because we see when Moses meets with God, which we all know what happens, he has all sorts of excuses. Well, God, I can't speak well. I can't do that. Well, what if the people in Pharaoh's court don't believe me? Yeah, he's kind of scared. Well, God's like, here, take your staff, throw it on the ground. What's it become? It becomes a snake. Pick it back up. And he's given all these miracles. He's given all these things that God says to Moses, do these things. And then Moses has another excuse. But what if the Israeli people, my people, what if they don't believe me? Because he had to convince them too to follow him. Why do those people want to follow him? He was from the courts of Pharaoh. He was a murderer. And the Egyptian people and the Hebrew people knew it. So he had all these things that he was casting out saying, I can't do this. And he was almost like, he was a brave man because we see the braveness that he had, but he also then had some fear. So how did he get around that fear? Because in Hebrews, what did we see? We see Hebrews 11 and 27, this time lapse. By faith, he left Egypt. So he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. So he left, and then not fearing the king's anger, he came back. So when scripture talks about Exodus, where he left being fearful of his life, now Hebrews is saying he wasn't fearful. So what happened there between that time of him leaving Egypt, fear of his life, because he killed an Egyptian, to now Hebrews pulling out and saying he wasn't fearful. He was faith trained, right? That's what we see happening. Moses was given this training to understand faith. He was given these powers of miraculous things that God enabled him to do. That he was given everything that he wanted to advance what God's purpose was to Pharaoh and to the Egyptian people, to release the Israeli people. All these things took place not because Moses was just understood faith. He was trained in faith. And I got to a point here which blew my mind. So God spent all this time with Moses, right? And you would think God would say, I just love this man. This man is following me. He's my prophet. He's going to release the people out of Egypt that they've been in there for slavery for hundreds of years. But then you get to this one story, which you can find. I'm going to give you the reference because you're going to say, Jeff, what are you talking about? Exodus 4:14. I'm going to read it. Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, what about your brother Abraham the Levite? No, that's not it. That's 4:14. This is where he's talking about, then send somebody else. I can't do it. Okay. Verse 4:24. At a lodging place on the way, so Moses is on the way, the Lord met Moses and was about to kill him. The Lord was going to kill Moses because Moses wasn't following what God wanted. And this is a weird story, but this is what people think. Because there's not a whole lot of stuff that comes out about it, but it fits the point of his faith training. At a lodging place on the way, the Lord met Moses and was about to kill him. But Zipporah, his wife, took a flint knife and cut off the foreskin, circumcised Moses' son. And touched the foot of Moses with the foreskin of the circumcision, and it saved his life. And what in the world is that? Right? What in the world? So here is Moses, and he just met with God in the wilderness, given all these miraculous powers, and all of a sudden God's anger burned against Moses. Why? And he wanted to kill him. So Moses. We think about Moses as the releaser of the slaves of Israel, right? To get them out of Egypt. He did all the miraculous miracles that God brought down. He implemented the Passover and got the Egyptians out. He parted the seas, and he was just this godly warrior. But before all that, God was so, his anger burned against him. He wanted to kill him. And I was like, whoa. What was the difference from old Moses to new Moses? What was that difference that we see here in Hebrews, that he was a man that didn't fear returning, that he persevered, that he walked through? The only thing that took Moses from that point to Hebrews, what he was trained in faith. And part of that faith happened in that story, his wife. And they think that this is just all assumption here. But what were the Egyptian or the Israeli people supposed to do? The covenant that was given to Abraham was on your male children are supposed to be circumcised. Moses was circumcised, but his child evidently wasn't circumcised. And did God say, hey, Moses, you're going to be the lawgiver. You are going to be the man who releases the Israeli people, and you're going to write the law, and you're going to lead the Israeli people out of slavery. You need to follow the commands, and you're dropping the ball on this first one. Your son isn't circumcised. You need to circumcise him. I don't know. Scripture doesn't say that took place, but something happened around the circumcision, right? Something. And the faith that he was trained in, that Moses was trained in, because God was going to kill him, also, praise the Lord for godly wives, that his wife, Zipporah, which I always think that name because he's Zippo, the lighter. Every time I see that name, I think of the Zippo lighter. The lighter that goes. So she was a fire. So you can think of it that way. Her faith was lit. She got on fire because then she saw what was taking place. And I don't know, was she the one that didn't want to circumcise her son? But all of a sudden, she got the flint knife out and she circumcised her son and touched Moses' foot. And for whatever reason, whatever that God thing that he wanted to do, it saved his life. That faith that was building, that faith that was being trained in Moses took him from a guy that when he left Egypt on a fear from his life, took him from a guy who had every excuse in the book of why he couldn't go back to Egypt to release the people of what God wanted. He had every excuse imaginable. And then he became this guy that we understand who Moses is. Moses was trained in his faith. Okay. Baseball players, a professional baseball player, they sit between 700 and 1200 pitches, swings that they do a week with batting practice, professional baseball player, a week between tosses and machines and ground balls, high balls, pop, whatever they train and they train and they train to get better. They're training for their batting to be better, to get their batting average better, for win games, to hit the ball better, hit it in certain areas. They train, right? Anybody else that trains? We just talked about the soccer. So the World Cup's going on. Those same guys in the World Cup, they're shooting for the goal. Like when they're practicing shooting a goal. I don't know how I didn't do the research on that one, on how many practice kicks they take, but I'm sure it's hundreds, if not thousands a week, practicing. Faith is the same way. That's what my conclusion was here. Faith, our faith, if we want to have this solid, enduring, dynamic faith, we have to use it. And sometimes we can't use it until we are beaten down to the dust of everything and we have nothing left and you have nothing else but to trust in your faith in God, right? And then you start using your faith. We talked about the Coast Guard. And so yesterday we were on the beach and I was asking Jansen about all sorts of stuff on Coast Guard. Because I've never been into boot camp. I've always loved the military. My father was in it and I always, you know, prayed for him, but I didn't go in the military. And so he was telling me about boot camp and he was telling me like, so as he was in boot camp, they would come in the morning and they'd go, fire, fire, fire. Fire, 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 like three times, fire, fire, fire. And they jump out, like they say, you jump out of the rack. Roger, whoever's in the military is probably something very similar. You jump out of your bed. It's like you're like a robot in control. And you go right to it. Like you don't even think. So 7 weeks went by from my son, who was a standard civilian, now into the boot camp. 7 weeks. That's it. Trained for 7 weeks in boot camp of someone coming into their room at 5:30 or 5 in the morning, whatever it was, or multiple times to fire, fire, fire. So Jansen was laying on the beach and the great dad that I am, right? I'm seeing him enjoying his family just sleeping on the beach, sleeping. And I said, I wonder how good this training is. Right? So as he's sleeping, I saw him there sleeping, just like this. And I looked back and I said, and not real loud, I just said, fire, fire, fire. He rose right up instantly, looked around, realized where he was, and looked at me. I was like smiling at him. But that training, he was trained on how to act. He was trained what to do. In 7 weeks, that training changed of how he got up and what he did. This training that Moses did was the same exact thing. Moses was trained in his faith. My prayer is for us. I think about the amount of years of faith within this church. Years of people in this church understanding faith. We talked before in this same exact chapter of spoken faith, of giving a blessing of faith, of these blessings. I started to think to myself, church, some of you are 90. Some of you are 20. There's huge amount of faith in here. For the people that are 50 and above, I'm 50 plus, I'm 50 plus. 50 and above and whatever else, we need to pray for the knowledge and the training of the faith that we have had. The Lord will pass that faith on to our next generation. To the people in this church, to family members within this church, I'm going to be selfish. We're going to pray for our church. I want you to pray for this specific church that the faith that we have gathered throughout our life, that we have been trained in, that we pass that faith on people in this church. For people that will be coming to this church, because these pews will be filled. If the pews are here or not, maybe there's chairs, I don't know, but this church will be filled. If that's what the Lord has, right? But the faith, that faith, it needs to be trained. It doesn't happen without training. So many times now, and I pray to the Lord, Lord, why is this stuff going on? He's like, Jeff, you idiot, I'm training your faith. Get over stuff. Learn that I'm in control. You've seen me do this. You've seen me do that. You've seen me do this. And I always go back to what I know the Lord has done. Just like many of you in here that have walked and been trained in that faith, right? You can't deny it. You've walked it. I want my prayer is that we can pass that on to our, pray for your own kids as well. Pray for your family, but pray specifically as people come into this church and there's younger people and new families, that faith that we've been trained in, fire, that will jump up, that we understand. We know the faith that, it's like we know it. That's what we need to put in. We're going to pray for our kids, especially our kids who might be walking away from the faith because they were trained in it. Let's not stop. Let's not give up. They're trained. So what I got out of this Moses thing, which he was a great man, right? But he didn't start off with this dynamic faith. He grew this dynamic faith by what God continued to do, and he continued to persevere, and he continued to walk forward. And even when he didn't want to, there was others in his life, like his wife, who walked faithfully, right? That's the prayer. I'm going to pray, and then you're going to turn to someone next to you. We're going to do this a lot now. You're going to turn to next to you. We're going to pray for our family. Pray for people that the faith that we have, because if we are living in a spiritual dimension, then what we speak is being heard. Pray that the faith that we have transfers into our family and into this church. And we'll pray for that after we're done. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Lord God, I thank you for what I've seen out of Moses. I thank you, Lord, for sparing his life with his very wise wife, who I don't know the story there, Lord, but you know the story from the beginning of time, that where it went back to Moses' time with what happened. Lord, all I know is I see in Hebrews, and I see that Moses was this great man of faith. And when we look into his life, I know that he was taught how to be faithful. Lord, help us to lean into that teaching in our life, that we can be these people of faith, that we can understand that faith better, and that we can walk boldly with this faith, obviously humbly, with this faith that just that sucks people into what is going on there. What's going on in that church? What's going on with my grandparents? What's going on with my mom and dad? All of a sudden, like, where did this faith come from? Lord, that's the prayer of faith. I pray that you will release that upon us, that spirit of and gift of faith that we know is a gift will be given to us. I pray for that. And Lord, as we come before you now as people, We're coming before you, Lord. Hear us. Hear our call out to you for our families, for our friends, and for this church. In your name I pray. Amen. Pray with somebody next to you.